Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, why is cultivated meat healthier than traditionally farmed meat? Yaakov Nachmias is an Israeli biomedical engineer and entrepreneur. He's a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and an affiliated member of the NIH-funded BioMEMS Resource Center at Massachusetts General Hospital. Nachmias is the founding director of the Alexander Grass Center for Bioengineering. He's a co-founder of Israel's BioDesign Medical Innovation Program, listed as a major reason for Boston Scientific's continued investment in Israel. In 2014, he won the Rappaport Prize for Biomedical Sciences for his groundbreaking work on liver tissue engineering and the development of nanotechnology therapies for the treatment of diabetes. In 2018, Nachmias became the co-founder and chief scientific officer of Future Meat Technologies. Now called Believer Meats, the company is a biotechnology firm which began producing cultured meat from chicken cells and went on to work on cultured lamb and beef. The company extracts cells from live animals. It cultures those cells in stainless steel fermenters where they reproduce and develop into edible tissues. The company claims that reproduction rates are 10 times greater than others while generating 20% of their greenhouse gas emissions. Compared to traditional farming, it uses 1% of the land and 4% of the water. In 2021, it reduced the cost of a cultured chicken breast from $7.50 to $1.70. The stated mission of Believer Meats is to make it possible for all future generations to eat meat. The current system of raising and processing animals to meet the growing global demand for meat is not sustainable. At Believer, they're focused on developing the world's most efficient cell cultivation technology so that they can make delicious meat available and accessible to everyone without harming animals or our planet. This week, Professor Nachmias is speaking with us about Believer Meats and also about his recently launched venture, Moonsteak. We're including a link to a video in which Israeli Master Chef Judge Michal Ansky tries one of their new products.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Professor Nachmias. First, could you very briefly tell us a little bit about your own background, where you're from and what you studied and where?
Sure. So I'm a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. I'm a professor of biomedical engineering. My background is from the Technion. This is where I studied chemical engineering. And then I moved to the United States, where I worked at the University of Minnesota, where I did my PhD, developing one of the first 3D printing of cells. And from there, I moved to Harvard Medical School, first as a postdoc, then as a faculty member. And about a decade ago, I got an invitation to move back to Israel, to the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and start a new Center for Bioengineering at the university that was founded by Albert Einstein and Sigmund Freud. So you simply don't say no to an invitation like that and move back to Israel. And I've been here ever since.
I'd like to speak a little bit about cultured meat. Can you give us a brief description or a definition of what it is and tell us how and when you got the idea?
Sure. So cultured meat is a very old concept. It's actually more than 100 years old. The idea that was first initiated by Alexis Carrel in France was that instead of growing an entire animal, you can take a part of the animal, you can take cells from that animal, whether it's chicken or cow, and grow them in the bioreactor in a way that simulates the animal physiology. And once you do that, you can very effectively make meat that we would like to eat without harming animals and without the massive environmental costs of traditional farming.
And this idea came 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's 100 years old. This is why you can actually find a quote from Winston Churchill in the 1930s talking about how silly it is to grow an entire chicken if the only thing that you want to eat is the leg.
Wow. Does this have any relationship at all with growing organs from stem cells?
Well, some groups are trying to use the same technology, that they conceived for tissue engineering, for growing organs from stem cells to make meat. But this is not something that we do in Believer. We use a very different technology. We're not using stem cells. You know, for some companies, it does. So Aleph Farms, for example, is one company in Israel that was founded by a friend of mine called Shulamit Levenberg that is actually using stem cells to grow muscle, very similar to tissue engineering. I think there are other companies that are doing that as well. We're using a different technology. For me, the most important thing is to get the experience of meat, to get the flavor, to get the aroma, but at reasonable cost. So I'm not interested in making, I don't know, like a $5,000 steak. You know, I'm more interested in making something that my kids can eat and afford to eat in the next couple of decades. So we're making chicken breast and hamburgers and maybe even the whole cuts, but for a cost that is equivalent with traditional agriculture.
What problems did you encounter, specific problems, when you first started doing this?
Very few. You know, I think the entire ecosystem is extremely excited about this. About 4 years ago, actually the story started 6 years ago. About 6 years ago, I got a phone call from an Israeli investor that wanted to ask what I thought about cultured meat. At the time I was in sabbatical in MIT, and I told him that I thought it was a stupid idea. I told him that, you know, if you look at the best efficiencies that we can get in the pharmaceutical industry, you'll never be able to cross the $200 barrier. So it's going to be too expensive for food. But then I had time, you know, sitting on the Charles River in Boston and thinking about the technology and sketched out a technology that can bring the cost down to about $5 a kilogram. And about a year and a half later, I met the CTO of Tyson Foods in Israel, in Haifa. And, you know, we talked about the field and I showed him our invention. And actually Tyson Foods became one of the first investors in what was then Future Meat Technologies. And today is the fastest growing company in the cultured meat area.
$5 a kilo is less than what you pay for real meat.
Yeah, but it's roughly the amount it costs to produce it.
Now, you mentioned hamburger and you mentioned chicken. Can you get pieces of meat or is it all like chopped meat?
It really depends on what technology you're talking about. So cultured meat right now, I think most companies are looking at ground meat type products. Believer has very nice chicken breast, which is a whole cut. But I just launched today, actually, a new company called Moonsteak Technologies that is making whole cuts. We just had Michal Ansky, one of the most famous chefs in Israel, try our lamb chops in Jerusalem on stage in front of more than 1,000 people, and she loved them. So we do have the technology to make whole cuts of meat, including steaks and chops.
Wow. Do you also make organ meats? Do you make liver and tongue and brains? Or nobody wants that anymore?
No. Yeah, nobody's using that anymore. Honestly, there are a couple of interesting companies that are making liver and foie gras, and I think that it's an interesting niche product. You know, tongue is not very popular today. You know, it's funny, my grandmother used to make tongue, and she's... my family is from Turkey, and you know, we're originally from the Toledo area of Spain, and you know, some of the cooking there is very distinct, right? You're using the entire animal, so I still remember that. I even remember the brain soup that you have to make.
What about other kinds of foods, like for example, fish or fruits and vegetables?
Oh, you definitely don't want to do cultured meat for fruits and vegetables. I think it's a very efficient process today. I think vertical farming and aquafarming are really changing the way we're producing food today, but you don't want to change the plant. On the fish, however, is very, very interesting. You know, so some fish are relatively easier than others because you can grow them in large ponds like we do in Israel. But some fish, like the one that you're getting from the oceans, one perfect example is tuna, are becoming almost extinct because of overfishing. And I think that's a very interesting technology to move toward. I have very good friends in a company called Plantish in Israel that are making these beautiful plant-based salmon. There are cultured meat companies like Wildtype, for example, that are making very interesting fish from cultured meat. But Believer, the company that I founded, you know, we are right now really focused on, you know, chicken, lamb, beef, and pork, so the main meat in the land.
Are you based in Israel?
Yes. You know, I founded a company in Israel. The majority of operations are still in Israel, but right now we're building a very large facility for cultured meat in North Carolina in the United States. And it's being built right now. It's going to be the first large-scale production site for cultured meat in the world.
Because you just mentioned pork, and I was wondering how that would be received in Israel. And also if, let's say, the beef or the lamb that you make is considered kosher, or if that's an issue.
So first of all, you know, we're not going to produce pork in Israel, no matter what. Even if it will be considered kosher, this is not something that we will be doing. However, like I said, we have significant efforts in the United States, and pork is an important product. If you want to change the planet, it's the most important product in Asian diets today. So if you want to dramatically impact the planet, you have to have pork in your portfolio, but definitely not in Israel. Regarding the kosher status of cultured meat, so there is actually a rabbinical decision that was issued by the chief rabbi of Israel saying that cultured meat is kosher, and is and at least in some production methods, it's going to be parv, which is very, very interesting. It means that for the first time. Yeah. It means that for the first time in history, you know, Jews can eat, you know, cheeseburgers or have, you know, meat on pizza, right? Or lasagna or beef lasagna. It's I think it's a fascinating concept from a theological area, and it's very interesting to explore.
You mentioned tuna a little bit in passing. I was wondering if, in general, cultured meat is safer than the natural food because it might have fewer contaminants.
Yeah, for sure. So for fish, you know, so ocean fish, you know, we have huge problems, as you know, with mercury and other contaminations. So cultured meat is definitely going to be cleaner than that. But it's also true for land-based animals. You know, one of the biggest problems we have is with foodborne illnesses in the meat that we're eating, right? So yeah. Salmonella in chicken is a huge concern, right? I won't touch chicken directly. You know, we use gloves in the United States, and the chicken has to be fully cooked, or you're running the risk of getting even an antibiotic-resistant bacteria that can kill you. For beef and for pork, we don't have an issue with salmonella. We definitely have an issue with E. coli, for example. So this is a major concern. And not only are these foodborne illnesses part of the game, but also we have zootropic viruses like the porcine influenza or even COVID that can jump from farm animals to humans and cause another massive pandemic. This is why cultured meat doesn't have these issues. You know, we can screen and eliminate those viruses, you know, at the core, and we don't have the risk of virus infection, but we also don't have the natural gut bacteria. So there's no E. coli or salmonella. It means that it's much cleaner and safer for everyone to eat. And as a parent of five kids, this is very, very important to me.
How long does it take, let's say, to make the equivalent amount of meat that an animal would produce, let's say a calf or a sheep or a chicken?
Well, that's kind of like the wrong question to ask. You know, I'll try to explain why. When you're growing cells in a bioreactor, they grow exponentially. That means they double every day. So it doesn't matter if it takes 3 days or 7 days or 14 days to grow, for example, a kilogram of beef. The next day, you're going to have 2 kilograms. And the day after that, you're going to have 4 kilograms. And the day after that, you're going to have 16 kilograms. And the day after that, you're going to have 32 kilograms. So it's really the big question is, you know, how big is your vessel? And in the facility that we built in Israel back in 2021, the maximum capacity is about 500 kilograms a day. That's about cow a day in a facility that is roughly the size of your living room. So the advantages there are massive.
Is there anything negative about the meat, the taste, or any kind of health problem or anything?
Well, I wouldn't be working on it and I wouldn't be excited about it if I thought there was something negative about it. I think that, you know, in my mind, the aim is to make something better than traditionally farmed meat. So we're trying to make, for example, a chicken breast that have more omega-3 fatty acids than salmon, and, you know, beef and burgers that have lower saturated fats than, you know, than a regular burger, than animal meat. There are challenges. For example, you know, reducing the amount of sodium in the product, not that big of a problem for kosher meat because kosher meat has quite a lot of sodium. But, you know, we think this is important. The other issue is to make sure that there are no really significant amount of carbohydrates. And those come from source material that are, you know, that we can't always control. So, you know, controlling both those aspects of the meat is very, very important to us.
So what you're making is meat, let's say, without additives, because sometimes you can buy, I don't know, milk that has things in it that, like vitamin C, for example, milk with vitamin C, which I would never buy because that to me is not natural. So you're not adding anything to this meat to make it, let's say, healthier or anything, are you?
Well, we are. I don't know why you won't buy milk with vitamin C. For example, you know, I make sure that my kids have fortified milk, both vitamin D and vitamin E. I think it's very, very important. I think that's a great way of getting your daily dose of vitamins in a product that you're already consuming. You know, both these vitamins are fat soluble, so there's a perfect way to introduce them is with milk. And I think we're doing the same thing when we're introducing niacin to bread, and that is, you know, one of the biggest advantages we have of the nutrition of the 20th and 21st century. People used to have vitamin problems and kids used to die at a very early age. And the fact that we brought food technology to where it is today is something that we should celebrate, not be scared of.
Okay. How does this cultured meat compare to other meat alternatives? The Chinese mock meat, for example, or products that come from plants, from soy, for example.
So I think most mock meats and most meat alternatives today that are based on plants are trying and in many ways succeeding in getting the texture of the meat correctly, right? But it's very, very clear if you eat them, especially without sauce or ketchup, it's very, very clear that it's not meat. Right, it doesn't smell like meat. It doesn't cook like meat. It doesn't taste like meat. And I think the biggest difference is exactly those three things. Cultured meat cooks like meat, smells like meat, and tastes like meat. So your experience with the product is what you're used to, and it's what you crave. I'll tell you the truth. Look, I have 5 kids at home. It's very, very simple. When they, you know, daddy is a scientist, so daddy runs experiments on these kids. and when they get plant-based substitutes without, you know, I'm not telling them what they're eating, they are left on the plate. You know, they play with them, but they leave them on the plate. They don't like them.
I was going to ask you who this meat has been tested on.
Yeah, my children. So a lot of people, you know, I think over 1,000 people ate cultured meat products over the last couple of years. And we have very thorough investigations of the safety of the cells and the safety of the product. We just published a major paper in Nature Foods, one of the top journal of the field. and just 2 months ago. So we are very, very excited about it.
So is the meat available to the public yet? And if not, when will it be and where?
So no, the meat is not available for the public. First thing you need to pass is the United States regulatory authorities, both the FDA and the USDA. We intend to launch our products in the United States in 2024. This is why the facility is being built in the United States, and we hope to launch them in Israel roughly the same time, maybe a little bit earlier as well, but it's going to be dependent on the regulatory authorization.
What about Europe?
Well, Europe is still, Brussels is still using novel foods applications. So the regulatory pathway in Europe is 3 to 5 years. So Europe would have to wait 3 to 5 years until the regulatory authorities there would accept the launch of cultured meat on the continent.
Okay, well, tell us about the company. It used to, if I'm correct, it used to be called Future Meat Technologies, and now it's Believer Meats.
Yeah, that is correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about when you founded it and how it developed?
Sure. So I founded Believer Meats about 4.5 years ago. And like I said, we were the first investment of Tyson Foods, which is the biggest meat manufacturer in the world. We brought in investors from the United States, from Europe, and from Asia. And the company grew extremely fast. We moved from a small office at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem to a larger facility within 2 years, and we grew to about 100, 120 people. In last year, we raised $350 million. That's the largest Series B round in this sector, and really became the first unicorn in this field. We brought in Gustavo Berger, the chief operating officer from Kraft Heinz, and we brought in people from Cargill, and other major corporations. And now we are the first company to build a large facility in the United States. The company has a very unique technology, putting together very innovative biology and chemistry and engineering. And that enabled us to really lead the cost revolution, being the first one to break the cost barrier for chicken and then for lamb and soon beef.
Is it a private company completely, or have you had any government support?
We didn't have any government support. This is a private company.
You mentioned this slightly before, but could you tell us more about Moonsteak?
Yeah, Moonsteak is a different company. It's a company that I founded essentially just now. It's a company that is developing a technology to produce whole cuts. What we presented today is the world's first plant-based lamb chop on stage, and we had Michal Ansky, a very famous chef from MasterChef, to try it for the first time on stage in front of more than 1,000 people in the R-Crowd Summit in Jerusalem. She was blown away. I think you should check the video. It's a fascinating technology because, you know, I was always excited about the potential of making whole cuts. You know, at the end of the day, hamburgers and nuggets only go so far. You know, my kids want to eat pulque, right? They want to eat chicken drumstick.
With a
bone. My wife wants to, exactly. So my wife wants to eat a lamb chop if my boy wants to eat a T-bone steak. So we need to get our act together and we need to move this technology forward. The biggest problem in this sector is that most companies are doing 3D printing. And 3D printing is just not a scalable technology. It's very slow and it's very expensive. So we developed a different technology at the Hebrew University, one that allows us to inject and mass produce whole cuts at a very low cost of manufacturing. And the products look amazing. I can send you a photo. It's very, very exciting.
It is exciting. I can't wait until it comes to Europe. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we might have left out?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.